Welcome to the Real Momentum Podcast with Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs. This is a program that encourages and challenges men through biblical discussions on manhood, interviews with key leaders, and powerful messages from a variety of different speakers. Everything that the Real Momentum Podcast does is focused on one mission: helping men win. Let's see what Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs has for us today on The Real Momentum.
You know, the first step in gaining momentum is taking the first step. And what I've found, and even in my own life, is just I realize that it's often the start that stops me. Taking the step to start a personal devotional, to start a conversation with a young man that I've never had a conversation with, but I want to try to pour into him. So.
Well, hey, men, this is Mike Spivey, and I am the senior pastor of Zion Baptist Church, and I am joined by my great friend, the executive director and founder of Real Momentum Ministries, and this is the Real Momentum Podcast, and it is the first one, and I am so excited. Listen, the mission, the vision behind this podcast is very simply: we want to help men win. We want to help men become all that God created them to be in all areas of their life. And so I'm excited. What about you, Keith? You excited to be on this first podcast today?
I am, Pastor Mike. Thank you for doing this. And like part of the awesome thing is that God kind of puts men together to do things that you couldn't do by themselves. And now we get to, you know, work together and not only the ministry outside of the podcast, but also in the midst of a podcast to maybe reach and lead some more men out there.
Well, this ministry has greatly impacted a lot of men, and you know that, and I know that, and my church has experienced that. And our prayers that this podcast will help all of our listeners win in the situations and the places that God has placed them as well. Because when men win in other places, men still win, and it affects our culture and our community. We know that. Well, guys, listen, we're going to jump right in this morning on our podcast here. And really our focus for today is this statement that I really want you to unpack, Keith, as we jump into the podcast, because it's a bold statement. It's a true statement. Again, I'm not sure it's a statement that many people believe, at least in practice. But here it is. It says, men are the largest unreached people group. Again, bold statement, true statement. I don't know if we believe it on paper, but I'm not sure most of us believe it in practice. So unpack that for us a little bit, Keith. Well, why that statement?
Well, I think if you look at your surrounding, and even probably drilling a little deeper, look at your own personal life and the times I've been in church, you know, from a young little boy all the way up to where I am now, it's almost a challenge to even try to get connected in a church. I think when you're smaller in a, you know, younger as a child or even a student, there's a, you know, somewhat of an open door or a pathway to get in, to get connected. But most of that's not discipleship. Most of it's, not really equipping and encouraging manhood or even teaching a little boy what it means to be a man. So a lot of times we're just struggling to find our way through, and even on up until to the time you start having kids. And, you know, before that, obviously there's going to be marriage, hopefully. And, you know, that's still, what's it mean to be a husband? What's it mean to be a father? A lot of times we're struggling to even try to offer that in our churches. So when I make that statement, I'm just thinking about, you know, not only the guy in the church, but also, you know, looking around, that's the guy outside the four walls of the church. And we just need to do what we can to reach them. I've said this before. I think if we tried to raise the money and, like for missionaries and send them across the world to a people group that's in desperate need, I think if we were to be honest, that probably the one that would top the list would be men, not only in America, but around the world.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if there's any pastors listening. I hope they are. But personally experiencing this as a pastor, where the majority of any issues or any conflicts in our church, in my church, is because of men. And most of those times I see the genuine heart of men wanting to lead their families, wanting to be raised up to be the man that God created them to be. And that's really why we're doing this, to help those men put into practice what God has placed in their heart. You know, you can read scripture and you can see that God has a special place for women in the church. We definitely believe that. First Corinthians 12 talks about every one of God's children who has a spirit of God in their hearts or have spiritual gifts. But then you see Jesus very early on, what did he do to reach people? He started with men, right? You see the early church in Acts chapter 1, they needed to replace some guys, and so they started with men. And then you get to Titus and raise up men. So men are great at reaching men, so we want to reach men. And I think that goes into kind of the statement, Keith, about you took the word momentum. And I'm sure you know this, but you can't spell momentum without men. Is that purposeful?
That's purposeful. Yeah. And plus, you can't spell momentum without a moment. And I think that's what it's going to take. Is there's got to be a moment when we recognize the need in our life. What do I need to do to respond? My church may not offer this for me. I may not have another man wanting to pour into me, but there's a relationship I have with a God who cares about us. So if there's a moment that we could ask God to move in our lives personally, but also other men's lives, I think hopefully we'll see some momentum take place.
Yeah. So you took this word momentum and made an acronym out of it. And I'm sure most people know what that is, where every letter in the word starts with something. But when you have this focus on reaching men as the largest unreached people group, I think taking that word momentum, breaking it down, helps us. Well, how do we reach this untapped people group? How do we get our churches? How do we get our men? How do we get our volunteers, our deacons, our pastors, our staff on this goal that we need to reach the men that God has placed in front of us? And I think taking this acronym word and breaking it down is going to help us do that. So the M stands for movement. The M in momentum stands for movement. And the statement that I want you to talk about a little bit, Keith, here, it says, under the movement word, it says, go be the man that God made you to be and take other men with you. Help us unpack that and to maybe put into practice how are we going to do that? How are men to do that?
You know, Titus 1:5 says, I left you in Crete, Paul speaking to Titus, that I left you in Crete that you should set in order things that are lacking and raise up elders in every city. And so when I think about the areas that are, you know, set in order, that means there's got to be repair there. The actual word means the setting of a broken bone. So something's broken, something's missing, something's lacking. And so hopefully the movement that takes place in a man's life is that he's able to, number one, if he doesn't know Christ as Lord and Savior, that's the first thing that needs to start, is he's got to be set in order in his relationship with God. And Jesus does that for us on the cross by shedding his blood. So a man has a brand new start, a brand new life. He's a new creation in Christ. And so he's able to begin moving to be what God wants him to be as he, you know, knows scripture, learns scripture, studies scripture, moved by the Spirit. But I think part of understanding movement is that, you know, oftentimes if we're not careful, it's the start that stops us. And I think men don't know where to start a lot of times. And maybe we haven't had good models in our life or good examples in our life. And so we kind of get stuck at the beginning of a move of God or movement taking place. And we don't take the ground that we need to take. And so I think part of it's just understanding that, man, I got to, you know, number one, respond to God, and that's movement. Then number two, respond to what he's doing in my life as he reveals things to me. And, you know, the more we move with God, the better we're going to be in our relationship with him and even those around us.
Yeah, that's good. Because you can see in scripture when God is calling any man to himself to follow me, or he's telling Moses, take off his shoes and go do the work that I'm calling to do, that obedience aspect, that faith is measured by which way your feet are moving. Sometimes you just got to start. You just got to move. You just got to get up. It's the same thing in exercise, which thankfully these listeners can't see me because I'm not necessarily the prime example of this, but I know movement, you know, they say motion is lotion, right? Just getting up and doing something and moving. And I think you're right. You find that I was talking to a man the other day that had some just uncovered, I guess, some deep father wounds. And that could be a whole nother podcast in and of itself, what dad wounds, right? An absent father or a father that's there but not there causes us in our manhood. But that greatly affected his start in his marriage and his relationship with his children. And that it was hindering him from continuing to run in the race. And I tried to encourage him that anybody can start. It's the finish that counts. So sometimes we have a bad start, and then it causes us not to want to keep going. But I don't know who said it. Somebody once said you have a rear view mirror that's smaller than your windshield because you are to glance back but drive forward, right? So just start, right? Just get up and move. And
yeah, the first thing, you know, I like to say it this way: the first step in gaining momentum is taking the first step. And it could be a prayer, it could be reading a passage, you know, maybe start your own personal and devotional time, picking up a new book in specific areas you want to study. But the main thing is to get moving, to really live in a repentant lifestyle before a holy God, because repentance does allow movement. When we don't repent, we stop growing and maturing. So I think part of the journey as a man is to have movement with the Lord and find out what he looks like as he begins to work in and through us.
So what would you say? So all that's good, especially for the individual man of movement in his own life, taking his first step forward in his own manhood, because God didn't make an accident in what he created as a leader, him just being born a man. But what would you tell somebody listening today that wants to have some movement in their church and men's ministry, because they do agree with that men are the largest unreached people group, and they want to reach the men around them. You got a guy that's excited, a guy that has some movement. Maybe he doesn't have a whole lot of support. Definitely budget wise, we know that we budget towards children and youth, and those are great things. I have kids in both. Not a lot of emphasis on men's ministry. So what would you say to a guy that wants to get some movement in the men's ministry or reaching men, even at work or in the church or around him?
I just think it begins with you personally. I mean, hopefully we see the activity of God in our own lives and we can carry on out from that. So I think part of it's got to start in his own, you know, it's almost like a burden that he's carrying. So there's this obvious burden that's real and he feels it, but at the same time, he's maturing in his relationship with his wife and growing and maturing there, leading his wife well. And then he's also leading his children well. If he has children, he's also an active part in the church. Sometimes I come across guys that are not even connected to a church and they have this burden for men, but I don't think you can really have the power of God on your life if a piece is missing in this biblical alignment that he gives us out of 1 Timothy 3. So part of it is, I think it's obviously with his own personal, you know, examination of who he is and where he is. And then if there's that burden that continues to carry for other men, which will be true, I think, in most of our lives is that, you know, men are hungry for discipleship and relationship. So I wouldn't go so much to the church as I would go to men. I think it takes men to reach men. So I would probably start with other men. And, you know, we've been given a discipleship mandate, so to speak, from the very beginning, I think, in scripture that we really miss out on, that we miss the power in. And that's, you know, being a father, that's discipleship, being a spiritual leader, my wife is discipleship. And so something that the church has kind of turned into, you know, this quote unquote brand, we've kind of walked away from because it's always been there. So I think it goes back to something really simple. Number one, am I right with God? Number two, am I right with my family? Number three, am I right with my church? In that, I'm making disciples, whether the church calls it discipleship or leadership or coaching or whatever, mentoring or whatever. I think it all goes back to, you know, does he have a burden for another man? So Jesus did that. He went to these guys and come follow me. There wasn't even a church. Shows us how to do that. He shows us to these men he built relationships with over time. And you know, within 3.5 years, there's a church that totally changes the world, and they bought into that. But I think, you know, the church will come alive when we make men a priority. So that all goes back to men. And when men make each other a priority of discipleship, and that starts at the house with your own family, then man, out of that, God will open the door. But, you know, in another context, really, I think I'd share with my pastor. I would communicate that clearly with my pastor, get him praying. I'd look for other men that have the same kind of burden, whether they're in the church I'm a part of or even in the city I'm a part of. And you'll find them. They're out there. They're starving to death. They're hungry. We got 30 coming right now at 6 o'clock in the morning. So they want it, and they keep bringing other men. So I think it's something that, you know, that's why I'm saying they're a people group. They're not even tapped into, but man, when you tap into them, they're going to start responding, and they're going to want help, and they're going to get help, and hopefully they'll take it and give it to somebody else.
If you've been enjoying the spiritual insights, stories, and practical strategies we share here on Real Momentum, the absolute best way you can support the show is by taking just 60 seconds right now to do two things. First, hit that subscribe or follow button. Subscribing ensures you never miss an episode of inspiration and that every new discussion is waiting for you the moment it drops. Second, please leave us a quick rating and review. Those 5-star ratings and your honest reviews are fuel for our show. They help other leaders like you find our ministry and keep the momentum building. But wait, there's one more thing. We don't just want to talk to you, we want to connect with you. We want to hear about your real momentum moments. You can find all of the show notes, resource links, and transcripts for this episode at realmomentum.men/rmpodcast. And please, join the conversation. Connect with us directly on all the social media platforms by searching for Real Momentum. Send us a DM or tag us with your biggest takeaway from today's episode. Thank you for being a part of the movement to reach and lead men to follow Christ.